So we are in the midst of a series on the Holy Spirit called Learn, Unlearn, and Relearn. It has been the goal of the desire of the elders that we get a better understanding of the work of the Spirit in our lives individually, and we've been talking about that. And then we began a transition to the work of the Spirit in the body, and we talked about love and being united, unity, and today we are starting a few weeks on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so the spiritual gifts. And so, turn that phone off. No, just kidding. And so we're going to look at spiritual gifts. And now we're not going to go through every single gift, but if we have time today, depending on where we are, maybe I'll end up splitting this into 2 weeks, but I want to kind of go over some of the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to talk about some of the ones that would be more controversial, more of an issue, and so I want to talk about those in particular. Have you ever gotten into your car and started it up and it wasn't running right? Okay. It's misfiring, or you don't have compression in all your cylinders or pistons as you thought, and you put the gas on and it's just not working well. And so or maybe that's just the way it is. You know, some of you got those, $200 Subaru beaters, and it won't die, but it doesn't quite live. Okay, and so you're just kind of going, it's misfiring, but you can get from one place to another, but it doesn't run well and it doesn't run effectively. That's what spiritual gifts are in the church. They help the vehicle run well and run it optimal. Have you ever watched hockey? In hockey, if you lose a player because of a penalty, you have to do the play the game for that timeout that person is gone. And so whether it's a minute or two, or if they've been really bad, it's 3 or 5 minutes, and you feel like you're handicapped and you just can't play well because you only have 4 players on the ice compared to the other team, which has 5 players, and you're just not playing well. Well, spiritual gifts help you play with 5-plus members. Okay, when everybody in Christ church, Christ body, is exercising their gifts, it displays the power of God's Spirit working in and through. And we're going to talk about that today. So let's listen as we read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11.
1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except through the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Okay, before I pray, I just want to go mention a couple of books. I've forgotten to mention these. I think I did early on. But three books on the Holy Spirit that would be very helpful for you. One would be The Gift and the Giver by Craig Keener. This would be a great book to read. Francis Chan has a book on the Holy Spirit called The Forgotten God. Francis Chan is classic Francis. This would be classic Francis Chan, solid biblically, but and very inspirational, very motivational. That's just Francis Chan. And then the third one that I have is this Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. If you look online and you're looking for used books, I always try to buy my books used. You got to be careful with Sam Storms because he wrote a book against the spiritual gifts that would be considered the charismatic or the extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit years ago, and then he became convinced that the extraordinary gifts of the Spirit were valid for today, and now he's written another book, and this is probably 10 years old. But so he writes about the extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit, Sam Storms, and we have, I think this is the last copy, so if you want that, you can grab that up there. But the other ones, we have a few copies. Those will be excellent resources for you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the gift of teaching and preaching, Lord. And I recognize how dependent I am upon the work of your Spirit through me to use these gifts and to manifest the work of your Spirit through these gifts, through this gift. And so, Lord, I ask that you would energize and empower me in such a way, Lord, that I would be clear and that I would be convincing and that I would not just explain, would not just educate, but I would create an expectation for you to work in our midst in ways that manifest the work of your Spirit and the power of God. And Lord, we also need for your Spirit to work through us as we listen, through the gift of hearing, Lord, because without that gift and without that special work through hearing, it will be of no avail to us. And so, Lord, I ask that you would give us the ability not just to hear words and information, but hear spiritual truth that would raise our faith and give us a sensitivity or a greater sensitivity to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the problems that faced the Corinthian church that Paul had heard about was the issue of speaking in tongues, and there was an overemphasis on speaking in tongues in the Corinthian church. They probably saw, if you had the gift of tongues, that there was a badge of spirituality and a badge of superiority. And that's one of the things that Paul wants to talk about, and as you see him writing through particularly verses or chapters 12 through 14, you see that he talks about that the gifts of the Spirit, the intelligible ones, that one, the ones that communicate so that people can hear and understand, brings edification. And so he basically says that the Corinthian church has overemphasized tongues, and so he's bringing correction to that. And he starts out in verses 1 through 3 to say that the unity that we have is found in Christ Jesus. Because what had happened is that there was these divisions and people were following different teachers or different leaders. And they were also making a distinction between those who had the Spirit and those who didn't have the Spirit, i.e. those who spoke in tongues and those who didn't speak in tongues. And Paul has addressed them and calls them immature in the first three chapters. And one of the things you see about that, the implication of that, is that those who put an overemphasis on tongues are immature. But those who put an underemphasis on tongues are also immature. And so one of the things that Paul wants to do is to inform them about spiritual gifts. And that's why he starts out in verse 1, is that I do not want you to be ignorant. What he's saying is that I want to inform you. And he says, what he's going to say is that those that are really spirit people or people of the Spirit or spiritual people, however you want to describe it, are those who are not identified necessarily by spiritual giftedness, but by confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at verses 1 through 3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, you say brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans and that you didn't have the Spirit, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, and I was drawing a conclusion, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So what he says is that, it says, before you were a follower of Christ, you were led astray, before you were a follower of Christ and you didn't have the Spirit, you were led astray by dumb idols, that is, by false gods. And that he wants them to understand that on one hand, you cannot say by the Spirit that Jesus is accursed, and nor can you say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. And what he is saying is that the primary role that you see and read about in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit is to make much of Jesus Christ. To display his sovereignty, to display his lordship, to display his glory, and to magnify. That is to make Jesus look good. And so, as I said earlier, that spirit people are not recognized primarily by giftedness, but by faith in Christ. Look at, if you have your Bibles, turn to John, the book of John. That would just be backwards a bit in your Bibles. John 16, verses 13 and 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For, or because, he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me for, or because, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And so, that's why, if you read theology books, they will say that the Spirit is the silent partner of the Trinity. Because he is self-effacing. He points away from himself and points to Jesus and the work of Jesus on the cross and in the lives of God's people by his Spirit. And so Paul is saying is that unity in the church is around the lordship of Christ. It's around Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that you see in the church in Corinth, being a Greek culture, is that they had gods for everything. They had gods for sexual fertility. They had gods for agricultural fertility. They had gods for the business guilds. And whenever you wanted something from a god, you would offer a sacrifice to them. And what Paul is saying is that Jesus Christ is Lord over all things. There's no divide for Christian. There's no God. Jesus is Lord of my life on Sundays when I go to church or when I read my Bible. But Jesus is Lord over every area of my life. That is, he can provide and meet the needs of every area of our lives. See, we don't have idols like the Corinthians had idols. See, they would put up these little idols in their house, or they would go to a temple and they would offer sacrifice, which was money or food, to appease that idol and to gain fame or curry favor with that idol. And so they were looking for that idol to meet their need. So we don't have those kind of idols. See, idols in the West or in America are much more elusive, are much more insidious, are much more behind the scenes. And so the idols that you and I would struggle with would be consumerism, where when we are empty or dissatisfied with life or feeling less than, we shop till we drop. Or we don't have to do that anymore because all we do is we shop till we click. And so we go to Amazon and you see the deal of the day, and all of a sudden there's something, not that you just want, but that you need. And so they have clothing, right, that changes every season. Or they have devices, computers that change all the time. And so I'm not happy with my MacBook Pro from early 2016. I need to get the MacBook Pro from late 2016. Once you go Mac, you never go back. It could be your phone. And Okay, you really want me to share with it. So, idols are what we revolve, what we think about, where we find happiness, how we deal with life, or where we spend our free time. And so, just think about, where does your mind go when you have free time? Okay. Sports. Bible, that's good. Netflix, okay. Facebook, right? Who's liked my post today? 32 people have liked my post. Oh, I am significant. I have a purpose in life. People love me. They affirm me. Oh, yes. So I'm going to respond to their, I'm going to reply, and then they're going to reply again. And oh, it just feels so good. David, you're okay. They love you. I think if they're not already there, we're going to have FBA groups, Facebook Anonymous groups. I mean, you know, my boys drive me crazy. But, you know, I realize how much I just want to flip through that thing. For what? And, you know, and I'll just tell you, you know, those things that, you know, the ones that really irritate me, because it's almost like they're manipulating you. If you're really my friend, you'll cut and paste this on your page. You know, sorry, I'm not your friend. Okay, so let's move on to something else. So what are the other guys? So it could be money, right? We don't give money away. We're not generous towards needy or towards causes because we want it all to ourselves, or we don't trust that we will have enough, right? There's never enough. Or, you know, you're having a bad day and you come home and there's the Hershey bar, right? I mean, it could be anything. Dark chocolate. Or just potato chips, corn chips. Do you know what? There's one reason why they feed animals corn. Do you know why? No. To fatten them up. So media, you know, actually I read this article. I need to go because this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But, you know, I read this article this week. Actually, I read it the last couple of weeks. Is that media, maybe this is really what our talk to be. You know what? This is what we're going to do at the end of the service. We're going to come forward and we're going to give our phones to me. I'm just kidding. Okay, focus, people. That the church is being discipled and shaped more by media than by the Word of God. It's a problem if you spend more time on media than you do in Scripture. Because it's telling you that it's satisfying, because there's something. You go to Facebook because it's satisfying, right? You go to Twitter because it's satisfying. You go to Snapchat because it's immoral. I mean, Snapchat is just wrong. I mean, just the stuff you see. I mean, what is the Snapchat? You know, they can put those pictures that go away just like that, right? Because you can, you know what? You can do things and post things that you would never say or do to another person. And we are more comfortable doing that than talking to people directly. That's a problem. That just shows how... yeah, my wife's telling me I got to move on. Okay, so unity. So when he's saying Christ is Lord, that's what he's talking about. Christ is Lord over every area of your life. And he can and will meet every area of your life. Your personal life, your spiritual life, your relational life, your romantic life, your financial life, your sexual life. Because see, this is what it boils down for all of us. Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough for you? And that, my friends, is a work of the Spirit, because you cannot generate that within yourself. You can't will yourself to be satisfied in Jesus. It's only a work of the Spirit in your life. And it will come primarily through this book and nothing else. It's not going to come through experience. It's not going to come through... Anyways, okay. So unity is found in our being united around Christ. I told Matt Friday, I said, I'm not going to get through this. So it's one Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the hero here. He's the hero in the church. Okay. So he talks about unity is found in the Lord Jesus Christ in verses 1 through 3, and then in verses 4 through 6, he says that unity is found in diversity. Unity is found in diversity. The goal of spiritual gifts is not uniformity, but diversity. Let's read verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So first of all, that we see the Spirit distributes a variety of gifts as he wills. That is, the Spirit sovereignly, irrespective of who you are and what you've done and what you can do, he sovereignly gives spiritual gifts to whom he chooses. Look at verse 11. And these are all empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions each one individually as he wills. Again, this points to the Holy Spirit being a person. He's not a force. He is a person. And he does it as he wills, according to what God the Father has ordained. And so he gives it according to his wisdom. It goes on in chapter 14 to describe the metaphor of the body. That for the body to function well, it needs the hand, it needs the eyes, it needs the ears, it needs the mouth, it needs the legs. And the body can't say to one another, we don't need you. Because when body parts are missing, we call that being handicapped. And all the body parts work together in a diverse ways to bring unity, because it displays our interdependence upon each other. And it is a grotesque distortion to want or think that uniformity is a good thing. See, this is how uniformity displays itself. You like to hang around people that are just like you. And that is anti-gospel, because the gospel brings people from diverse backgrounds who at one time are potential enemies and bring reconciliations, bring reconciliation, Jew and Gentiles. And so the goal of the gospel is to bring unity by destroying the differences that we have that bring hostility and frustration and anger towards each other, and gives us grace to put up with each other. It is a sign of immaturity if you want to hang around with people that are just like you. We talk about this in our life group, the Amoeba life group, Wednesday nights at 6:30. That we like to be around the same people. So all the young people want to be around and they do a group together. And all the old people want to do a group together. But the gospel says is that God has made us all one in Christ. And we can learn from each other. One of the things that if we're around people that we're like all the time, we don't have people that have differing perspectives. And maybe even maturity, and maybe even wisdom to speak into our lives. So the Spirit distributes gifts as He wills. Second of all, there's a variety of ways of serving the Lord Jesus. So He calls it a variety of services, ways to serve. All forms of serving is serving Christ. So what He's saying is that it doesn't matter if what you do is important or unimportant. It is all a display of serving Christ and being empowered by the Spirit. See, we have a tendency to highlight, say, teaching and pastors or other people that do extraordinary things and highlight them as, oh man, they are really serving Christ. Or someone that goes overseas, right? Oh man, they are really serving Christ. But you know, I'm just helping out, passing out bulletins, or I'm just opening up my home to a small group. And what he's saying is that is serving Christ. And that is a display of a manifestation of the Spirit. And then he says that all varieties are ways that God empowers us to serve using our gifts. And so that when we're exercising our gifts and we're using our gifts, it is not human energy that's energizing them, but it is God's empowering presence. So it doesn't matter if you're doing something practical, like in the nursery, or opening up your home, or talking to somebody, or praying for somebody, or sharing scripture with somebody, that is all empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by God. And then notice this. He says, all these things are done by the same Spirit, by the same Lord, and by the same God. What he is saying is that the diversity is found in the unity of the very nature of the Godhead. The triune God who works in perfect harmony and peace, even though they have diversity of roles. And he says the unity that the church has in diversity is found in the very nature of the triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. Okay, let's just begin looking at spiritual gifts here now. Verses 7 through 11, he mentions some gifts. And he says, to each is given the manifestation or the revealing of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit. That's actually, healings is actually plural. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions or distributes to each one individually as he wills. So he says that to each there is given. To each there is given. So the Spirit gives to every person or every member of the body a gift as a manifestation of the Spirit in the body. So every one of us has a spiritual gift, or at least a spiritual gift, to be used in your church family. If CCC is your church, this is your church family. It's to be used for the common good. That is the building up or the edification or the strengthening of the whole church. And so wherever you go to church, whether it's here or another church, you are a vital and necessary part of that church. Without you, if you are there and are not exercising your gifts, that church is handicapped and not functioning to its greatest ability. And this is why that is important. This should be important to you. You should care about the church, because Christ loves the church, and he died for the church, and he presently lives for the good of the church. And if that is not your heart, you don't have the heart of Christ. And as a follower of Christ, we are to be Christ-like. That's not me saying that. That's Scripture that says it. Ephesians tells us that Christ died for the church. In Revelation 1 through 3, where it talks about the seven churches, Christ is in the midst of the church, presently living for the good of the church. Sorry. Where was I? Okay, one person. Okay. So he lives for the church. Okay. And Christ's goal is to glorify himself in the church. That is to make him look awesome. And when we are not exercising and using our gifts, he does not look as good as he ought to. And God has created us that in everything we do is to glorify him. And part of that is through using our gifts. So everyone who's a follower of Christ, who's a disciple, who's come to faith in Christ, has gifts to be used to build up the body of Christ. Look at verse 7. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 12, which would probably be in the next page of your Bible. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestation of the Spirit, strive to excel in the building up of the church. And then let's look at Ephesians, which would be 20, 30 pages to the right. Actually, less than that. A few letters over. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It talks about the gifts to equip the pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Gifts to bring unity, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, that is to bring maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we are no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, who is the head unto Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So as we exercise our gifts, all the gifts, not just teaching gifts, not just shepherding gifts, but all the gifts, not just even on Sunday, but throughout the week as the church gathers together, whether we gather in a home for a life group, or whether we gather in a coffee shop to get together and to encourage one another, to share our burdens with one another, or we talk to each other on the phone, or we meet on Wednesday night at Ignite Youth, or on Tuesday night with our children's programs, and you're exercising your gift, it builds up and strengthens the body into maturity, into the fullness of knowledge, so we're not tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. Part of you using your gifts is what strengthens the church, so that we are solid doctrinally. And so that the church, so that you're not tossed back and forth. And so, gifts have been given to all of us to be used when we gather. And as I said, when it's not gathering just on Sunday, because not everybody uses their gifts on Sunday, but when we gather throughout the week in people's homes, or we're on the phone, or people are coming over to your house to have dinner, and you're sharing Christ with one another, and just sharing about your life in Christ with one another, or you're serving in the children's ministry, or the youth ministry, or the benevolence committee, or the missions team, with all the different ways, or you're just helping around the facility. Serving the facility. So it doesn't mean that every time we gather, but that everyone uses their gifts, because all the gifts are necessary and make a necessary and valuable contribution. And so let me encourage you, if you don't know your spiritual gifts, easiest way to find out is you can take a test. On the notes at the bottom of the page, there's a link. Those tests aren't 100% foolproof, but they're generally pretty accurate. Or just start serving. Just say, I'll do something. And if you don't like it, try something else. Or talk to somebody. What are your desires? What are your things you like to do? And what has God put on your heart? Or you can, if you're in your life group, we have a spiritual gifts DVD class you can take, Network, which is actually awesome. It's very helpful. It goes over spiritual gifts. It goes over your passions. It goes over your personalities. And it was very helpful when I did it with my previous church and realized that half my leadership were introverts, and I would get frustrated why they wouldn't reach out to people. Well, there we are. They're all introverts. Okay, so let me just... Oh, geez. Okay, so... we're going to close. To be continued. So let's stand and we'll close with a worship song. We're going to be a couple minutes of a closing worship song. Let me encourage you. Two things I want to encourage you with. All of us struggle with idols in our lives. And as we go into worship with this song, Lord, I want you to ask the Lord for help and strength with those idols you struggle with. And if you don't know what those idols are, let me tell you something. Ask him. He will show you what those idols are. And if you'd like prayer, there'll be people up front that would love to pray with you and pray for you. And if you don't know your spiritual gifts, take the test this week. I'd encourage you to do it. If you have never put your faith in Christ, it's simple. Scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did two things. He loved the world, and he loved you, and he displayed his love towards you by sending his son to die on the cross for you. And this is what he asks you to do. He asks you to believe. And by believing, you receive eternal life. That is, you've gone from condemnation to accept it. You've gone from being an enemy of God to being a child of God because of what Christ has done on your behalf. And so let me encourage you to trust Christ this morning. Let's worship as we close.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Let us experience the glory of your name.
Just a reminder, on the notes section at the bottom, there's a link you can click. Can't click on it, but you can follow it for spiritual gifts. Actually, I think I posted it on our Facebook page also. Let's pray. Father, just thank you. For your Son. And because of the work of Christ on our behalf, you have saved us, secured us, and you have promised that you will mold and shape us into the character of Christ, and you've given us gifts that we can display the power and the presence of the Spirit in our lives and in the life of your people. And Lord, I ask that we as a body would flourish and continue to flourish as we identify our gifts and abilities and use them to serve others, to love others, and be the hands and mouth and feet of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'd like you to know that this projector popped. So if you're feeling generous and you have the spiritual gift of giving, we could always use the money for that. Have an awesome day. Thank you.